The following podcast may contain inappropriate language, sexual content, and spoilers. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to the Gonzo Dot Moe No Name Anime Show. I don't know if we have a catchphrase, so just imagine that we said one. I'm JP. I'm joined by Noelle and Kyle this week. How you doing, Noelle?
I'm doing pretty good. My catchphrase is, I hope Ken Akamatsu gets his fingers cut off.
Well, excuse me, princess. How about you, Kyle? What's up?
Catchphrase.
Nice.
You know, we're a no-name anime show. I figured we should get a no-name catchphrase.
That's fair. I did forget to realize that our name of our podcast is so uncreative that it doesn't have a name. You can find this podcast at gonzo.moe. We're probably on your favorite podcatcher. We might be on some that you don't like. Like Spotify, where you can listen to Joe Rogan interview Jordan Peterson. I don't know what happens over there. You can follow us on Twitter. You could call the voicemail, which it turns out I had improperly configured until the other day.
So people might have been sending us messages.
Yes.
And we've just been assholes.
Yes, that is correct. Nice. As it turns out, if you called the voicemail until the other day, it went to my actual phone. And that is why that person that called the voicemail had my phone number, because they didn't. They called the voicemail and it just went to mine.
I think we need to challenge people. I think at the end of the episode, we should be like, hey, you know, if you disagree or agree, just send us a message, right? If you really, we'll air it. If you hate us, just, you know, like basically send us your hate mail. I think we'll get some messages.
Yeah.
Maybe you really like Ken Akamatsu and you don't appreciate me wishing he be maimed.
Yeah. So. I mean, it's possible you're in the small group of people that want Ken Akamatsu's finger in your butt. And so I'm getting his fingers cut off. Really would, I don't know, remove the butter from your biscuit. That's not a catchphrase.
Yeah, don't say butter with fingers when we're talking about buttholes.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, you're just sitting there all day and you're like, man, I wish Ken Akamatsu would neji my magi.
Oh my God.
Or love my hina.
Okay, what was that? Oh goodness. It was like
this is an anime show.
Comedian. I can't remember his name, but people made fun of him a lot. That was essentially his entire bit.
Uncle Yo.
Yes, there it is. Sorry to bring that from the past. Anyway, if you want to call me, that's 716-46-MOE-43. That's 716-466-6343. I found this out because somebody hit me up on Twitter and they're like, so I tried to leave a voicemail and somebody answered? Was that you? Question mark. So my bad. It should go to a nonsense, nondescript voice message like, the number you've called is a voicemail. Please do a thing. So anyway, there's a lot going on in anime world. Most importantly, I finished New Girl. That is as long as most shonen anime. It's like 200 episodes long, and it ends like every shonen anime you've ever watched. So I'm counting it. At the end, the main characters get married and have a kid. So there you go. Sorry to spoil New Girl for you, but it's now my favorite shonen anime. Yu Yu Hakusho be damned. You know, a lot of stuff happened this week. We had a bit of a high dive controversy. It happened so quickly that I didn't really see it happen in real time because I was at work. But were either of you privy to this? Like, people were saying that High Dive took down like 100 shows and they thought that AMC was shutting them down. And
yes, I was hearing something like that. Like apparently a lot of people couldn't watch Legend of the Galactic Heroes.
Yeah.
And then it branched off from there. Like they were missing a lot of other stuff on there.
Lady Death.
Death is still on there.
Well, Lady Death was part of, because apparently according to High Dive, there was just like a server problem because they're, I don't know, migrating servers or some technical thing. But people were going through and trying to figure out which shows were no longer working. And apparently one of them was Lady Death, which was this like, I don't even think that was anime. It was like a comic book inspired right. like feature film that ADV, I want to say produced, but I don't actually know if they paid to have it made. But
right.
it's one of those like bizarre things that they've held on to forever.
Mm-hmm.
I know Kino's Journey was another one that I thought was interesting to be on that list because I think they were on the production committee for that. So in theory, they should have that license in perpetuity.
Mm.
But it makes more sense.
It was really bizarre to watch in real time because, you know, especially with how competitive it's been lately, and all of a sudden, like, you know, High Dive isn't necessarily getting the best content, but they do have a great library of stuff. And so for all of the library to be gone, it was like, oh, I saw so many articles pop up that were just like, well, the anime game's basically done. And then it was half that. And then half the people were just like, this is why physical media matters.
I like
that's both true to a degree.
I like that because of High Dive not working, they thought that anime was over. It's like
Funimation was dominating.
Yeah. The game is done. Crunchyroll stands above all. That's what they're getting at.
I mean, let's be real. Their anime hasn't really been a competition in a long time. They just like make factory shit and feed it to us through an IV.
Yeah.
You know, whether there's 50 companies or two companies, I don't think that's going to change. We're still getting like 8,000 isekai shows about I'm a little sister in another world.
Yeah.
I'm all for it. But it was quite the mess. And I know that some people were like, did AMC just realize what they bought? And when they got a bill for like 80 shows to get relicensed, they're just like, nope. Not paying that. But it seems to be worked out. I have not been on High Dive since this happened, but it would probably explain why. It was like maybe 3 or 4 days ago, I tried to watch some garbage called Real Girl, and it would not play. And I thought maybe my TV was doing me a favor.
It like puts a hand on your shoulder like, yo, you don't need to like, see that.
No, JP, don't do it.
Don't watch Real Girl. It's not related to New Girl. Anyway, there was this thread that I shared with you two. I had not read it when I shared it. I didn't realize that it was incomprehensible nuns.
Right.
Like, just weird, like, word vomit.
Oh, yeah.
I wish they would have given, and like, I know what they're talking about, but that's only because I'm aware of what they're talking about beforehand. It, in terms of like, if you did not know what they were talking about specifically,
yeah,
I wish they would give an example anywhere in there of like what they're actually complaining about.
It's like if 30 tweets?
Unless you were terminally online as a teenager, like a decade ago, you're not really going to have a full grasp of what they're talking about.
So this seems to just be like some random person, like somebody that was venting online. I don't want to call them out because, you know, they have like under 1,000 followers. They're just some person that happened to go viral.
Right.
And the premise from what I could understand is like, they think that the internet was better because back then people didn't hate things. I tried to read this, but so much of it just like did not make sense.
It seems like what they're getting at is like that the way fans interacted with media was different. And
it seems specifically to be in a kind of shipping way.
Yeah, it was different before like the advent of Twitter and Instagram and smartphones. So
I don't know if I necessarily believe their premise, though, because a lot of it seems to be like, hey, back in the day, we all shipped our own ships and we all were totally fine with them being completely separate. And it's like, look, I've been in enough shipping threads to know that they were always arguing about the shipping.
Exactly. Like so much of this, it really just reeks of like the fucking end monologue from Joker, where it's just like, nobody's decent anymore. Everyone just yells at each other, like that shit.
Yeah, it's like Jared Leto, we live in a society.
Exactly.
Well, you know, I've held similar sentiments, but not, I guess, as extreme as this. The internet was a different place.
It certainly was.
But yeah. It wasn't that people like that didn't exist. It just, they were compartmentalized more. Well, there weren't as many people using the internet, and forums were, yeah, they were a lot more compartmentalized. But if you don't think there were people arguing about ships on some super obscure shipping forum, like, you're out of your mind.
Yeah, like, I was never a shipper, but like, you should have seen me back on the 1UP forums back around like the 1UP show times, because I was a Nintendo stan at that point. And oh boy, I was a nightmare, I'm sure.
Yeah. And also, like, I don't like the implication that they're making in the beginning where it seems like to be a real fan, you need to either like create your own things or create like fan content, or you have to like engage with fan content. And it's like, what the fuck is that? Like, I really like One Piece. You're not going to see me on fucking fanfiction.net looking for like Luffy Usopp / fiction. That's not happening. So does that make me not a fan of One Piece?
Yes.
Because of that.
I think the thing that offended me the most about it is like the lens in which they're engaging with like their hobby is this like either consume or make.
Right.
And it's like, we really need to get away from this attitude of one. I don't like calling
and it's
the art we create content.
Yeah, it's that, a problem.
It's
and gross. It's not even consume or make. It's like consume or make, but what you should also consume is like fan created content, which is just like, maybe that's not part of it for me, you know,
as we are making a podcast.
Right.
But we're not, let's put it this way. We're not creating.
Don't have to listen to this podcast.
Don't worry. No one does.
I know. I don't think that like we are doing something, but it's not like, let's put it this way. We're not having to like, I think that a lot of fanfic writers are like, are trying to make something that they view of like, this is my canon. I think that's kind of what they're coming from it, from like an internal point of view. Whereas like, I don't think that our conversation, like, I think it's like, if we talk about an anime, I don't think that that's the anime.
Right.
Oh, sure. Right? Well, that's just what we think about the anime.
Yeah. But we're like engaging with, like, we're engaging around it. We're not trying to create something that is a part of.
Yeah. Like, I've heard people say, like, they watch Dragon Ball Z abridged instead of watching Dragon Ball. And I'm like, that makes zero sense.
There's certain things that they talked about that maybe I interpret them the wrong way, but I do agree with. I do think it's a problem that there's entire like genres of YouTube videos that just exist to like bash other people in like fan communities.
Oh, certainly.
Like the Shoutman channels and all that kind of stuff.
Right, but it doesn't even sound like they're really targeting like the Shoutman channels. It really sounds like they're more focused on like teenagers on like Twitter who say like, hey, I don't agree with this show because they feature a romance between an 18-year-old and a 20-year-old. And I feel like that is an inappropriate like age difference.
Problematic like, age gap of 2 years of
exactly. Yeah. So like, I feel like that's what they're focusing on and that's what they see as damaging. Like they're not even really bringing up the concept of like the YouTube Shoutman grifter, which I feel like if we're talking about what's damaging to fandom, air quotes, that's far more dangerous than just some kids on TikTok or some shit.
What I never understood about people that complain about things like this, like, oh, the blah 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 fandom is ruining the, like, Rick and Morty is a good example. Like, the fans ruined Rick and Morty for me. It's like, I just don't engage with the fandom. I just watch the show and laugh alone. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not watching it for them.
I mean, I will say I had a Rick and Morty shirt, which I had to throw out.
I'm wearing one right now and I don't wear it in public. So I'm a little bit of a hypocrite.
Right. Yeah.
But
which I had to throw out because every time a guy would see me in it, they'd be like, "Wubba lubba dub dub, guy."
Oh my God.
I was
want to hear about cryptocurrency?
That's a vibe.
I used to wear a Bleach hat in public until Bleach fans started talking to me. So, like, maybe I'm just like the extreme opposite. I don't want to interact with anybody. I just want to watch Harem in the Labyrinth of Another World and joke about it on my podcast that nobody listens to.
Like, shit. Like, there's a guy in my office right now who every time I pass by his desk, he's watching One Piece on his computer.
And you just pretend you don't know who Luffy is?
I just don't engage because I'm like, I don't know if he's like me and he just doesn't want anyone to bug him about it.
Did you know that Luffy's, I don't know, Red Rock, is that a power? It's now more iconic than the Kamehameha.
Oh my gosh, that was insane.
Or it's the like, Kamehameha, I'm sorry.
Nothing, here's the thing, like, I keep saying this, I feel like I've said this on this podcast before, like, nothing in the United States, at least, is ever going to be as iconic as Dragon Ball Z because you're never going to see like a fucking Tanjiro Thanksgiving Day parade float. That's not happening.
Oh, you mean nothing in America as it relates to anime? I was like, yeah. I don't know. I feel like Mickey Mouse or Ronald McDonald may be more popular than Goku.
I'm talking specifically in the realm of anime. Yeah. Yeah, but like, yeah, no, you're not seeing Luffy on a billboard. Maybe you do, but like nothing as ubiquitous as like the Thanksgiving Day parade. That's not happening.
Well, so I don't know what the power they're referring to is, but somebody in the comments of that thread was like, I'm pretty sure he's only used that once.
He's used it before, but it's like,
my grandma knows who Goku is.
Exactly. Everybody's grandma knows who Goku is.
Except maybe Goku's grandma because she passed away.
There we go. Yeah, oof. Probably.
I don't know if I have any other nonsense. Stop calling things content.
Yeah.
Who cares if you make things? I don't know. Stop being angry. The things that I miss about the old internet aren't necessarily that there was less fan discourse. I think I just miss that there was less stuff, so it was easier to find things you liked. You know, I talked about this the other day, like when I was trying to research lights, something super mundane, I couldn't do it because I got like 800 SEO optimized pages on lights.
Right.
But if I would have Googled lights, I don't know, 15 years ago, I might actually find somebody's really cool light blog where they're like, actually, you should get the Philips lights because they, I don't know, have better ligaments. Ligaments? Filaments. And the same thing with anime. Like, there was a lot more like hyper-specific blogs and stuff, and they were easier to find, whereas now you just get the Wikipedias.
Yeah, now if I... And
the fan like react videos. Look at me watching episode one of... I don't know. Redo of
Hero. Or like even friggin' like fan wikis, like those are indecipherable now because they're all run by fandom, and fandom is like, let's throw all the ads on this page so that you can't even navigate it.
Oh my God. I was trying to do that with Elden Ring. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, because I'll use walkthroughs with Souls games because I don't care. The games are hard. Knowing where to go is not necessarily going to make it easier. And what I found is that most of the wikis were wrong. Like, they would get locations wrong, they would get, you know, stats wrong, and it was really kind of eye-opening. Like, oh, this is all kind of... I might as well just explore on my own, because nobody has a clue what's going on.
Right.
Anyway, we watched a lot of anime, surprise, and... I'm trying to
think. If they've been listening, they should be surprised.
Yes, because we never watch any anime. I'm looking at the list of things. The one that I think we all have seen now, at least through episode one, is Licorice Recoil, Licorice, whatever you want to call it, Lyco Reiko, some may say.
Lyco Reiko.
Me and Noelle, I believe, are caught up. Episode three comes out tomorrow as of this recording. We are recording this on Friday, the, I don't know, what is it, the 12th? I have no 15th. Idea. 15th.
Yeah, 15th.
So episode three will be out by the time you hear this episode. I guess without getting too into the actual content, because I don't want to spoil it for Kyle, I thought episode two was a lot stronger than episode one. I thought, like, the way that it was paced and, like, the way that the tension and like, the story beats were articulated. I don't know. I really liked episode two a lot.
Yeah, I will say episode two worked out better. Episode two, I will say, got across what they're trying to do a bit better.
Yeah, for me, episode one was just like,
it was trying to set up a lot.
Yeah, it was setting up a lot, and it lost my attention halfway through. Kyle, I remember you were like, they have to not always have it turned up to 11. How did you feel now that you've seen the first episode?
All right, now that I've seen it, so I feel like it almost starts at 11. And then it ramps down. So, like, okay, just for people who aren't aware, I guess the basic premise of Licorice Recoil is that cute schoolgirls are protecting the peace of Japan. So it starts off with, you see, like, there's a major shootout and stuff, but then they show more, like, I don't know, regular day-to-day them protecting Japan. And so you'll see, yeah, like, a shady guy in a train with a bomb. And then a schoolgirl, like, secretly double taps him. And then, like, the train will pass and the body's gone. And she's just walking away. Her gun's in her cute little snapback backpack. And you're just like, okay.
So the real question is, where were the licorice when Shinzo Abe was assassinated?
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's a good question, but well,
maybe that's addressed in episode three.
So it's just like a lot, though, in the beginning. And then towards the end, you see this character who's been chastised and has been demoted for some actions that were taken where she endangered some people that she shouldn't.
He's
have.
A loose cannon, and she doesn't play by the rules.
Right. And she's a, like, mad dog killer. She's actually has bullets in those guns. Can you believe her? Whereas the person she's been sent to learn from uses non-lethal bullets and is much more of a, you know, like, she'll still shoot you, but you'll survive, right? Like, you'll just have some cracked ribs or something.
It's like if Fash the Stampede was wearing a schoolgirl uniform.
Yeah. But it's just so funny the way that they shoot it. Non-intentional. Of just, like, because it literally looks like something from Gunslinger Girls.
Oh, my God.
Like, oh, yeah, definitely. It's very much that of that same breath or formula.
Like, she's up close and she has, you know, that the stance where you, like, Sam Fisher, where it's like the gun isn't extended all the way, that you keep it really tight to your chest, and she's dodging the bullets, and you see her hair parting as the, you know, and it's just like this really, like, that actually, like, worked the best for me when it was, like, really kind of leaning into it. But then it's like weird tonal mismatch in the beginning. But I do get the sense, like, it still seemed like one of the most interesting shows of this season.
I still want to know what's going on with that tower. How'd that happen?
Yeah, because is it Tokyo Tower or is it just another tower?
I think it's just another tower. I don't think it's anywhere specific.
Oh, God. I'm forgetting this detail. What is the tower?
The radio tower. That was like, it's like the major set piece of, there was a major terrorist attack. Oh, in the
yeah,
middle
yeah.
Of,
yeah. Now I remember. It looks like a Guilty Crown happened over there.
Right.
For those who remember Guilty Crown.
I remember that was Goro Taniguchi. That guy fell off.
It's a well animated series, though. I think that the action, they really do a good job of it. It's stylish, and there is enough interest there. I mean, even some small details. So, for example, like a thing that they usually get wrong, like who's their handler, their sensei,
Mika.
Yeah, so the guy, like, he's the character that we spoke about on the new show of he's like their black handler. sensei guy, but they actually animated his palms correctly. He doesn't just have like the same shade of black, like he has the lighter palms.
Yep.
Which is the thing that gets, they get wrong in animation all the time.
It bothers me so much whenever I see it.
Right. Cause it's like, that's not how melanin works. Like, you know,
it will either be like a very defined line of where like the shade on the back of his hand begins and the shade on his palm begins. And it's very jarring. Or it won't be there at all, and he just has the same shade on his on the back of his hands as his palms.
Yeah, but they get it right. I think it actually looks really good, and that's one of the things that I definitely like noticed. I'm like, oh shit, they actually did their homework, and they're not just like caricature of a black guy.
Yes,
it's a low bar in anime, but they did clear it.
There's no 1970s Cyborg 008 going on here.
Woof.
Yep.
I'm a big fan of this show so far.
Yeah, so far it's cool. I thought it was super cool when Takina, the one girl, was like hiding behind the suitcase.
Oh,
in order
to
not get shot. Yeah.
That was.
And I saw a clip of that from episode 2. It looks really well. Like they shot it really well.
Mm-hmm.
That scene. Or that whole sequence was very good. And I don't know. I think tonally, I thought that it was better balanced. I don't want to say too much because I really like the show and I don't want to ruin the experience for you. But I think if you enjoyed episode 1, I think you're really going to like episode 2 because it's more of the same, but done much, much better.
Yes, I will say out of the shows, because I watched 4 new shows today. This is one of the only there's only 2 of them I'm going to continue watching past episode 1, and this is one of them.
Ooh, what was the other one?
You're gonna have to wait to find out.
Ooh,
waka waka.
So let's move on to something that only Noel watched. You watched something called Vermeil and Gold. Is that what it's called?
Yes, it's called Vermeil and Gold. I looked into it. I guess this is. It's based on a manga that ran in one of those, what's it called? One of those like Square Enix manga anthologies.
Okay.
Yeah, let me just pull up to be 100% certain. Yeah, it ran in Shonen Gangan, which some people might know for Soul Eater and Full Metal Alchemist and stuff like that. The full name is Vermeil and Gold. A desperate magician barges into the magical world alongside the strongest calamity.
My God.
Ugh, but
that is not something I would normally expect you to watch.
Yeah, no, not at all. I took a chance. I was like, you know what? I haven't watched some bullshit like this in a while. Let me just see what's going on. So the show starts with Alto Goldfield. He's a guy who goes to magic high school. You guys are familiar with magic high school. You know, it's like high school, but they do magic.
Oh,
classic. So,
yeah. And he's doing pretty good with his classes. The only problem is he can't summon a familiar. He's having real trouble with that. And they're like, this is unacceptable, Alto. Like, if you don't summon a familiar, you'll be held back a grade. And he's like, ah, shit, I don't want that.
So would you say that he's unfamiliar with the proper casting sequence?
Yes. Yes, he is. So,
sorry.
No, that's cool. So he finds like this old book that he tries to summon something from, and he ends up summoning a sexy lady.
Nice.
Who happens to also be a demon that was like sealed in the book. Why was she sealed in the book? We'll find out later.
Being too hot.
That was probably it. She was sealed because her tits were too huge.
They're going to need a big seal. Oh my God. Yeah. I'm going to stop.
Yeah. And so he summons her. And after he summons her, she explains to him that the reason he hasn't been able to summon a familiar is because his magic is just so fucking potent that it's poisonous to like lesser familiars. So he would like summon something. He would try to summon something and it would be like, oh shit, summoning pact. Whoa, that's way too much. No, sir. Let's back out of this. And this is where we get to the crux of the show, because since she's a demon, she's like, oh man, I need mana to like exist. So let's make out so that I can take your mana.
I mean, it's not as direct of a source. I mean, really, she wants to jump his bones because that's where the real mana's at. But you know, sure they have to go move slowly.
There's very much a specific thing where she says, like, hey, nah, if kissing doesn't work, there's other ways that can extract your mana. And she implies that she can blow him for his mana.
Very nice.
Yes. And so he goes to school the next day, and the teacher is like, this is unacceptable. Our school has a policy against anime tits of this magnitude.
No blowjobs on school property.
Exactly. Yeah, no. But, you know, he summoned a familiar, so he gets to go to the second year of Magic High School. So, yay. And the show is just like hijinks ensue.
Are you enjoying your time with this show?
You know what? So far, I'm doing okay. The demon lady in question is pretty fun. She's just like, hey, I'm a demon lady. I'm super powerful. I'm stronger than any of these wizards around here. They can't do anything to stop me. What's up? Because what is it? At the end of the first episode, his childhood friend is just like, this is suspicious as fuck. I need you to leave my childhood friend alone, large titted anime woman. And if you don't, we are going to have a duel. So they have like a magic duel. And
oh my God.
And the demon lady, whose name is Vermeil. That's where it comes from. Cause you got Alto Goldfield and the demon's name is Vermeil, so Vermeil and
Gold. Didn't the title be Gold and Vermeil then? Waka Waka?
Yes, I get it.
Oh.
Hi-yo. Really big shoe, folks. Really big anime shoes. So.
Okay. When did this come out?
This is this season, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it started.
Only episode 1 and 2 are out.
Last week, yeah, just episodes 1 and 2.
All right. Would you.
Second episode's fun because you have like a, you're introduced to what I guess is the equivalent of a biker gang, but they ride dragons, which I want to see more of them.
Oh my God. I found a picture of, this anime. It looks like she's wearing the Virgin Killer sweater,
right? That's another thing, because originally she comes out naked. And he's like, could you put on some clothes? I am but an anime boy. I can't see bare titties lest I explode. And yeah, he just happened to have a Virgin Killer sweater in his closet.
Oh, my God.
I have no idea why. But yeah.
Oh, you know why.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking it up. That it very literally is. I didn't know there was multiple variations of this sweater. There's one where it's open in the middle. I'm going to get off of this image search. I don't mean get off that way. Hey.
Hi-yo.
So would you recommend people watch this?
You know what? I'd say so far it's been a fun time. Like if you're into this sort of like a sex comedy bullshit, I would say give it a shot. There's a second episode where his childhood friend drinks an invisibility potion to get past the Cerberus, but the invisibility potion only makes her invisible, not her clothes.
So
she has to take her clothes off. And guess what? The potion wears off. Whoa.
Nice. So there is.
And I mean, I'm shocked that with only 2 episodes, this Vermeil hasn't become like the sexy anime lady of the season.
Well,
similar to like your friggin' dress up darlings and your your what have yous.
Well,
my only idea is like maybe she looks too much like an adult woman.
Or maybe it's because she hasn't done blackface yet. Whoa.
Yeah. Or maybe it could be that she's on high dive. That could be it too. Yeah, the show's
this is a high dive.
Yeah, this is a high dive show. So.
I mean, are we sure it's on high dive? With it is. Everything that's happened, it's a joke about them ruining their servers. I'll have to check this out. I am pro large-breasted anime ladies.
There we go, yeah.
So much so that I'm watching Harem in the Labyrinth in Another World, which is terrible. Boy. Let's just put that out there. This is a show about buying women to have sex with. So I don't know, Noelle, if you listened to last week's episode where I did a beat for beat of episode one.
Yes, I did. It sounded fucking atrocious.
It's really bad. Something that I forgot to mention is the ending sequence is out of this world. The slave seller guy, he is just singing a song about how he's selling women. At least that's apparently what he's saying because it's not translated. But people online were saying like, yeah, he's pretty much just like comparing them to jewelry and stuff.
Wow.
And it's like spoken word rap. It's very weird.
Oh.
So after everything I said last week, you would expect the next episode to be, you know, similar, like to have tons of, you know, naked anime titties and a bunch of misogyny and slavery stuff. But it's actually really fucking boring. Episode two is just our lead character grinding for 20 minutes because he doesn't have enough money to buy a slave.
Wow. So it's like the opposite of Shield Hero.
I have not seen Shield Hero.
That first episode is a lot of boring, grinding bullshit. And then it goes into like, hey, you know, sometimes you got to buy slaves. What are you going to do?
It was a lot. Well, it starts off really confusing because it does like a flash forward, I think, where it doesn't show the character's face, but it's kind of implied that it's our lead character. And he goes to visit one of his like illegitimate children. It's like, oh, what? I need to go say hi to this kid and give him a sword. He's like, hey, kid, tell me about your mom. Implying like he hit it and quit it and then like fucked off to another dimension or something. I don't know. But then the rest of the episode is him just going into a dungeon and killing like level one monsters for 20 minutes. That's what the whole episode. I could not believe like how, you know, similar to Licorice Recoil, like the tonal shifts. The tonal shift with this, like if this was your fetish, like your type of show, you're not being served. And if you want to watch this show as a joke, you're not being served either. Like, it doesn't make any sense. It was a very bizarre choice because they could have just, like, done a 5-minute bit where it's like, lol, you got to grind, and then, like, cut to a week later, hey, I have enough money to buy that slave, because that's why people are watching this, I assume. They're not watching it to watch him get, like, one experience point per monster.
I mean, you never know. Some of these, like, weirdos are just very into video game mechanic bullshit.
Maybe I just I'm underestimating the fetish. Maybe it's not about buying slave girls, but it's about grinding to buy slave girls.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't play Dead or Alive for the caught girls. I play it because it's a serious fighting game.
It's so I can like level up their skill points,
right?
I don't even know what to say about it other than that. I was really hoping to have another like funny segment about this show, but it's gonna have to wait because nothing fucking happened. He just fought like tree monsters, the exact same tree monster, for 20 minutes, just like, you know, in a video, like an RPG, you're gonna see more than one monster. So he's essentially just walking around and getting into random encounters.
Oh.
And nothing else happens. So that's Harem in a Labyrinth of Another World. Sorry.
So let me ask then, are you going to keep going? Or is this more just like out of morbid curiosity? Or are you just like, this is boring? Like, why am I going to keep watching?
I think I'm going to give it at least 4 because it was really fun joking about how bad it was. And I think it can come back to that. And I feel like if they can't give me another funny podcast after 4 episodes, then it's a waste of my time.
Cool. So we'll find out, folks. Another two weeks, or another three episodes. We'll find out.
So sorry, people that were looking forward to that. Maybe I'll have to watch World End Harem, because that was a fucking show.
Right.
And it's all out now. So let's go to something. Oh God, who did we just do?
We can do Yuri Deco because we both watched that.
Yeah, let's do Yuri Deco. Yeah, I watched episode one and I don't know if I liked it.
I mean, so for those who don't know, we covered this for several weeks on the Newsbroom of like leading up to this release. So it is the Yuasa, or from his Science Saru. I don't believe Yuasa's behind it, though. I think it's a different creative crew.
I'll look it up.
But it is Science Saru animated, very much leaning towards their more like kiddie titles, you know, a lot. You know, this doesn't look anything like, I don't know. What is it? What's the time traveling one?
Steins Gate?
No. From them. They did it. It's like Tatami Galaxy.
Oh, possibly.
Tatami Galaxy.
Right. It doesn't look anything like that. This is much closer to something like Lou Over the Wall. In terms of like their studio work. And I think a lot of people are watching it because it is from Science Saru. Like they have, a lot of people are big fans of them, but I'll tell you this, everybody.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. I do not see Yuasa signed on with this. I see Tomohisa Hisa Shimoyama.
I see it's also written by Dai Sato.
Yeah.
Just remember, everybody, all right, they're just an animation studio. No studio bats 1,000, right? Even Studio Ghibli has some stinkers, okay? This looks like a Yuasa series, or like it looks like a Science Saru joint. This was pretty bad. I will not be watching an episode 2.
I just found myself bored. I like the premise. That's
exactly. It's boring.
Like the premise of it being like an allegory of how we're obsessed with getting likes on Twitter and Instagram, I think is really interesting.
See, I think that's the most boring thing about it.
I don't think they're exploring it. Well, I think that like that's something that you could write a story about and really try to say something.
I mean, that's what Gatchaman Crowds did.
Gatchaman Crowds is an interesting take on social media, legitimately. This is one of those like really low bar takes of like, oh, this writer who doesn't like isn't online heard about social media and he has an idea. Like, if you've seen that, there's an episode of The Orville season one where Seth MacFarlane does an episode that is basically as highbrow as this.
Oh no.
If you are not able to write a better episode about social media than Seth McFucking Farlane.
So what you're saying is Seth MacFarlane knows about as much about social media as he knows about anime.
Correct.
Yeah, I thought that the art style was decent enough. It reminded me a lot of the internet world in Bell.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just... It struggled to keep me interested. I didn't find the characters like rhyming speech pattern. I found it obnoxious.
No, it's really obnoxious. Like, and they think it's so cute, and it's really not. Like, it's like wubbity dubbity.
Yeah,
like, you know, we were just making fun of wubba lubba dub dub, but like, damn.
I almost wonder if this would be more interesting in a dubbed version, because I found that. Like reading them through subtitles kind of made it worse. I feel like if I heard somebody talk this way in like a goofy voice, it might be more tolerable.
And like, and it's catchphrases everywhere. Like the main character is always saying like, lovey.
Yeah. Oh my God. Well, yeah. Cause they're like social currency is called love. And there seems to be like a love thief that's going
their
around.
Social currency or like their currency.
I think it's both.
Like literally people, like it's a weird thing where they have implants in their eyes that allow them to like see the real world, but social media interacting with it. So it'll be like, it's this weird thing where you can tell that all the architecture in the city is very much like stone blocks and it's really drab, but then they have like weird LED like lights coming out of stuff, and that's the implants like adding stuff. So you see her at one point, she goes like, I'm gonna spend my love to like get new decorations on the city, and instead of it like being round like orange and green circles, now it's like blue rods that are like partially see-through.
It's if you've seen Denocoil, it's like a very stylized version of how they interacted with their world.
Okay.
Like a hyper stylized version of that.
But then the weird thing about this is also the show that's trying to be like a weird Tom and Huck, like Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn allegory.
Yeah, I'm not as familiar with those stories to be able to see the parallels.
Well, no, I mean,
their city is called like Tom Sawyer Town or something.
It's like Tom Sawyer Island or something. And they're supposed to be, because in Tom and Huck, I've never read the book of Tom Sawyer.
I've read Huckleberry Finn.
But I have seen the Tom and Huck Disney movie starring Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Oh my God.
I feel pretty confident I can speak about this. yeah, it's like the worst.
What I can say about Tom Sawyer is that he's a modern day warrior with mean pride.
There we go.
And that's all I can remember from that song. Yeah, I don't know if I have anything else to say. I'm going to give Yuri Deco a Yuri Deck no. Hey.
Sorry, are you also not going to watch another episode?
I don't know.
Watch more?
I found the first episode to be frustrating, and I don't know if I have it in me to watch episode two. Maybe when
it's also just really predictable. Like it felt like even when it was doing something I didn't expect, it was like bad. And then when it was doing like, it was like, I didn't get any enjoyment out of watching it. And I don't even think it's really shot well. Like it's not doing much. It tries to do some, like at one point, a character who's, I guess, the mischievous, like invisible person. Mm-hmm. She does like a move that's just like from Mirror's Edge, where she jumps off of a high landing point and rolls, and the camera goes into like a first person point of view to show that roll. Mm-hmm. But it looked really mechanical and it wasn't like joyful. And the camera work, like on occasion, like there's a chase scene very close to that where we get like a 2D perspective. You know, we get like the side view. Is there one character's above the other person? The other person's like on a staircase below.
Yeah, they did like a Super Mario reference a couple times.
Yeah, but it's not like interesting cinematography. No. And the ideas are really boring. So like, again, I just, you know, it's like, you know, like, even if you love an animation studio, like sometimes they just don't, they're not releasing the best stuff. Like this is just kind of, it's present.
Yeah. If it gets a dub, I might check it out then. I think it may be easier to focus, but I found this episode very frustrating. Mm. So let's see. What else did Noelle watch? I have Bastard on here.
All right.
How or Vinland Saga, I guess.
Oh yeah,
we probably have time for you to do one more.
Yeah, I'll talk a bit about Vinland Saga, considering that. Hey, so a great thing about Vinland Saga is that it's an anime that, you know, gives you the idea that slavery is bad. Whoa! Could you imagine?
I mean, the harem show can't.
Oh my gosh! But yeah, it's a. Vinland Saga, it's a show about Vikings, and I gotta say, because I also saw that new Thor movie, it is a shame that Viking iconography is being appropriated by racists, because they got some cool stuff over there.
Yeah, like horns, beards.
Yeah, yeah. They got some cool, like...
I don't know, man. Like I saw the Northman, and I think that they can have Viking iconography. I don't want it. That was such a terrible movie. But I guess, go on. Why is it good in Vinland Saga? Oh, man.
It's interesting because, what was it? I know we were talking in a previous episode about how I like to just be introduced to characters and then... give me their backstory afterwards. But Vinland does the opposite of that. It's giving you full-on backstory, like from when this guy was like a five-year-old.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah, because you got the main character Thorfinn, and his dad's like a big old Viking dude who used to, you know, he used to like roam the seas and fight dudes, but then he was just like, you know. This ain't the life for me, man. I just want to chill out and raise my children and bone my wife.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, so...
So let me ask you, how far are you into this?
I am about 6 episodes in now.
And is it still airing, or is this just a series that is finished and you're going through it?
The first season of the anime is finished. From what I hear, there's a second season coming up this fall.
Nice. Okay. I'm on the Wikipedia. So this is one that's been on my radar for a long time.
Yeah, I know the manga has been running super long. And it was always like, it was always up there with like Berserk and Vagabond, and as like, hey, you gotta read this manga, man.
Oh, it's from the creator of Planetez, it looks like.
Right. Yes. Yes. I remember hearing about that.
Now you got me intrigued.
Yeah. I'd never read Planetez, but I hear that's also a good one.
So, what's Vinland Saga about?
Yeah. Basically, it's a. Where I am currently, it's pretty much a revenge story, because the first 5 or so episodes get into this whole thing about like how, yeah, Thorfinn's dad, you know, like ran away, like left the Viking army to just, you know, live a peaceful life out in Iceland. And then they track him down and they're like, hey, we're going to war with the English and you're coming with us. And he's like, but I don't wanna. So they pretty much like twist his arm. They in a few words say like, hey, you're coming with us or we're gonna fuck up this whole village. And he ends up kind of going, but as he's on his way, like with himself and like a caravan of other guys and his son Thorfinn, who stowed away at the time, their ship gets ambushed and they get murdered by these other Vikings, who pretty much, it was like, it was a whole setup basically just to kill Thorfinn's dad, because they're like, yeah, no, we don't fuck with deserters at all. And so it seems like the rest of the story is Thorfinn growing up and vowing revenge on the guys who killed his dad.
Oh God, this is just the Northman.
Right. But it is
Jesus. Vikings have one story.
Yeah, exactly. But here's the twist, is he ends up like with that company of Vikings, in that like he joins up with them, because at first he's a little kid and he's just like, hey, I challenge the leader of this group to a duel, and he fights him and it does not work out too much. But then the leader's just like, hey man, prove yourself on the battlefield, get stronger, and then you can fight me again, and we'll see what's happening. And that's where I currently am in the story.
I've always heard that this is very good.
Right, similarly. So far I do like what I'm seeing from here, because there's also like an earlier part, and I want to say episode 2, where Thorfinn's dad, who I should also say his name is Thor's, they like a runaway slave collapses on their doorstep, and he takes the guy in and feeds him and tries to like keep him alive, and like his owners like show up in their village and it's like, hey, we heard a runaway slave is around here. And he's just like, I don't know what you're talking about, I ain't seen no runaway slaves here. But then when they find him, he essentially like pays for the guy's freedom, which is dope.
Nice.
Even though the guy dies later.
Oh no.
You know, yeah.
It looks like there is a new season. It's coming out January of next year.
Yeah.
So cool. What is this, High Dive?
This is, so it's, from what I understand, and I think you guys brought this up on the newsroom, it's on Netflix. And I think it's on some other thing, but yeah, I'm not too sure.
Oh,
I know,
yeah.
That's where I saw it. Yeah.
It used to be on Amazon, I think.
Yeah, it used to be an anime strike show, and now.
Oh.
Yep.
All right. We've got
to. Bring more anime strike shows to Netflix. When are we getting Recreators? I want to finish that too.
We've got about 5 minutes. Kyle, do you want to try to talk about the Phantom Idol show?
Yeah, I can talk about that one real quick. And we'll save the last one for when you watch it too.
No, summertime dance.
Yeah. So Phantom of the Idol, it is, I believe, a high dive show. So just for those looking for it, so here's the premise. There's two idols, male idols, and that one of them is really great and the other is really half-assing it and is about to be fired when he discovers that there's a ghost who was an up-and-coming female performer idol, and all that she wants to do in this life is perform. And this guy goes, cha-ching, I can do all the work because she can possess my body, but without having to actually do it? Great. It's a win-win. So the whole idea is she possesses his body and like has pep and enthusiasm and gives a shit. And he can just be successful because of it.
I remember we talked about this on the newsroom and we thought that that was an interesting approach to a kind of tired premise. And that's why we were interested in it.
Yes. Unfortunately, in practice, it was really boring.
Oh, and no.
When we get to the actual dances, because we do see a full idol performance, it is, you know how they sometimes will do like the 3D CG performances and it looks really robotic and bad?
It looks like the Baki second opening.
How dare
it's you. Really bad too, because one, like the designs are weird. Like even like just, I don't know. I hope that they change them, but like their outfits look like they're kind of normal outfits, but then they have like weird, like it looks like fluffy fur collars, but they're all round, and in CG it is a very strange thing to look at, and their proportions are weird too, and the whole thing is just like so convinced that it's great, but the music that they're singing isn't great and the dancing isn't great and it's really hackneyed to watch. And I was like literally some of the least enjoyable animation like I've watched. I watched a lot today from, you know, of like four different series. This was, I feel like, let's put it this way. Like at least Yuri Deco has some interesting things going on and it's like an interesting animation style. This was so by the numbers. Please do not watch it.
Well, I will not. I was meaning to check it out because I know that you wanted to watch it, but I will not do that now.
Yes, I'm done.
I know that you have watched some Summertime Rendering. I'm reading the manga, so I think maybe next time I will try to watch some of the show and read some more of the manga, and we can talk about that one together.
Yes, because the first 13 or the first at least 12 episodes are currently out.
Yes.
I think, or 13 rather. 13 out of the 25. It is a Disney Japan plus Disney Plus only show. So, you know, we'll find a way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I have the first 13 episodes of it. I torrented them, so I can also watch those.
Nice. And then Noel, you watched some Bastard. I've seen a little bit of it as well, so maybe next time we could talk about Bastard and Summertime Rendering. And then I also have been reading a manga called Senpai's Pious Life, so maybe we could talk about that.
Is it about upperclassmen who have large breasts?
You know, I wish I could tell you that that's what it was about, but it is actually about dealing with the trauma of being sexually assaulted.
Jesus fucking...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
Noel.
Oh fuck. No. Oh my god. I have that fucking manga. I misheard you.
It's really good so far.
I thought you said senpai.
Opai. Oh, senpai. Fuck. Sensei. Sorry. Shit.
I fucking...
Oh no. Since I wrote it down in my notes,
a lot of people the wrong direction.
Yes, my bad. It's Sensei's Pious Life. It's the what do you call it? Inio Asano's partner is the writer. But yeah, it's a really uncomfortable read. So far, I find it to be a good read despite being uncomfortable. I'm told that the ending is maybe not great, so I'm looking not so forward to that. But this is the No Name Anime Show. In theory, we come out weekly. And we talk about anime, we talk about anime news, we talk about Twitter discourses. Probably. We're part of the problem. We're going after your problematic ships.
Exactly.
So we're coming for you, kids.
Yeah, how dare you? How dare you like a romance between a 19-year-old and a 25-year-old? Get out of here. You're gross.
Yeah, so I don't even know. We'll see you next time, everybody. Cheers.
If you disagree with us, send us those visual messages. I mean, voice messages.
I thought you were going to say visual novels.
Visual K. Send us visual K.